I know tonight's message seems a little bit of an abrupt thing because none of us like to admit that we are complainers, but I would say most of us, because of our flesh, have to deal with this. And if it's not for you tonight, it'll be for me, amen? And we have a tendency to complain, and I want to look at this passage tonight because God really, the children of Israel, a lot of their mess-ups was unbelief, but it seemed like their unbelief always turned to complaining, and complaining about what they thought God should have done and didn't do. And so tonight, we're going to look at this together. Out of Numbers chapter 11 together. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing. Father, thank you again for letting us be in church tonight. Please again, give us the words to say and help people. Help us not to say anything you don't want said. And again, guide and direct our lips, our heart. Lord, help us again tonight not to be complainers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Numbers chapter 11, the story here in the whole chapter, it seems like it's two different stories, not just one. And I'll tell you why. Verses 1 through 3 talks about the children of Israel complaining, and then after they complained, how God sent fire down from heaven. When you get to verse number 4, it almost continues the same thought. But look at verse 4 me. It says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept," and here's the word, "again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons." Now, those were watermelons, by the way. "And the leeks and the onions and garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." You know, it's interesting in this passage here that their complaining spread. I mean, in this passage here in verses 1 through 3, it talks about the children of Israel. And verse number 4, it talks about a mixed multitude. When you get farther down in verse number 10, it says, "And Moses heard the people." And then he's going to complain to God and said, "God, you know, these are your people, not mine. What do you think? Why do I have to bear the burden?" And I want to tell you something. Complaining is contagious. And we as Christians need to be careful. Tonight, there's a broad spectrum in here. There's some of you that are you're very happy-go-lucky. And I wish that was the norm, but that's not the norm. I will say that there are very few people that always look for the bright side of things in life. There's not very many people like that. Most of us, and trust me, the reason for it is because of our sin nature. We have a sin nature, and we have a tendency to want to talk about the bad. When something bad happens to somebody, isn't it amazing how quick we want to spread the news? All right? And you know, that's aggravating. You know, it's interesting. There was a day when a person left church and they left wrong. They left and that was it. Not anymore. Now we have social media and telephones and internet. And so what happens now when a person... And so bad news spreads faster than it ever has before. Hey, church family, it used to be a day that what happened in another church, even across town or across state, you never knew about those things. But I'll tell you, today everybody wants to be the bearer of bad news and talk about how bad things are. And truthfully, it's complaining. And I know it's gossip, but we have a tendency to look at things that are bad. Now, some of you in here, you're not the happy-go-lucky person. All righty? In fact, if tonight you fell under conviction about everything that you complain about and you stopped your complaining today, tomorrow you wouldn't be able to say anything. All right? Because you have a tendency to always look at things in a bad light. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I wish I didn't do it. I'm glad you wish you didn't do it, but you do. And so tonight, all of us, by the way, it doesn't matter if you complain a lot or a little. If you complain, it's wrong. All right? You shouldn't complain. This word complain in the passage here means mourning. And you're going to find out that I think in like 8 or 10 different verses, the children of Israel are weeping. And when they're weeping, they're not weeping because they're in pain. They're weeping because they're complaining. It's so bad. All right? And we're raising a generation like that. And we got to be careful. Hey, if you're a parent, whether you're the husband or the wife, and you have a tendency to complain tonight, be honest with yourself for a moment. But if you have a tendency to complain about things, I just want to tell you that rubs off on your children. And your children, they pick that up. They pick that complaining up. All right? Never a good word to say about anything. All right? And so tonight, I want to look at these things, and I want to really key in, I think, on verses 1, 2, and 3 tonight of this passage here. And so tonight, let's look at them quickly together. Verse number 1 again, it says, "And when the people complained," I want you to look at this first thing. The first thing it says, it displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. Now, Trisha, I did a quick Bible study on what things in the Bible that displeased the Lord, and I found out there were about 7 things that displeased the Lord. All right, now, think for just a moment here. When David committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and he murdered Uriah the Hittite, the Bible says the thing that David did displeased the Lord. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I want to tell you something. If murder and adultery displeased the Lord, and God compares that with complaining, I would say complaining is a lot worse than we think it is. All right? God was displeased when David numbered the people, and he numbered the people because of pride. So I guess if pride is a bad sin, I want to tell you, so is complaining. The Bible talks about not having judgment in the land, that that displeases the Lord. And we've gone through that in the United States of America and still are going through that. And you know what? Can I tell you something? God compared that to, and we could go through the references and do the Bible study together, but I'm just telling you, these things that God, if you're happy about your enemy falling, Proverbs says that displeases the Lord. And you know, I'm going to tell you, if those kind of things displease the Lord, and complaining is one of these statements that God says in the very first statement after he says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I just want to tell you, God's not happy when we complain. When we complain. Hey, I want to tell you something. I have to deal with it at our house all the time, and our children. You know, they complain about the food, or I wish we didn't have to eat that. All right, now, you say, well, man alive, your children are rotten. My children are rotten. They've got a sin nature, okay? They're not like your children. Your children are angelic, all right? Lucifer's side of angelic. But anyway, they have that tendency. My kids have a tendency to complain. Isn't it amazing that our children in this society have it a whole lot better than our generation did? All right, now, I know all of our lives are different. All of our experiences are different, okay? But my children have not had to go through 30 days of peanut butter. It might as well be. But it was beans and cornbread. To this day, I do not like beans and cornbread. All righty? And my family went through a spell there. I mean, my dad would go through months and years without a salary because the church that he was at in those days, there was just no money. Now, what happens is my children have not had experienced those things. And I want to tell you, it causes us to have a tendency to take things for granted. Now, my stories are no different than your stories. Some of you remember growing up in the years where there wasn't any money and you just didn't go out and get whatever you want. Being able to go out to eat was a luxury. Not just a convenience. All right, so what's happened is we've got a society today and Christian children today that they complain. You know, they complain about what they have and what they think they don't have, but they complain. And I want to tell you, our children do not understand. God says that displeases me. You know, we think of sins in our life. We say, boy, that's really displeased God. But we look at it as, well, those are just words, okay? Now, church family, I could take you across the scriptures tonight, but God tells us very clearly, and I'll just read them to you, Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, you know what that means? At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we said. In other words, when we just let things come out of our mouth and it's coming out in a complaining nature, God's making note of those things. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God sees what we think and hears what we say. So the first thing I see tonight is this, is that God is displeased with complaining. Follow me a little farther. I just want to take it because actually it's just each statement here. But verse number one again says, when the people complain, number one, it what? Say it with me. It displeased the Lord. All right, so complaining displeases God. Number two, it says, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. You know, you're at home and somebody makes a statement, you know, I wish we didn't have to live here. I can't believe it's so cold in this house. I can't believe we got to eat this. I can't believe we can't get a new vehicle. You know, all of these complaining, this complaining that we do, maybe it's complaining at work, you know. I wish I didn't have to work these long hours. I wish I didn't have the boss that I have right now. I wish we didn't have to do this particular job. You know, all of this statements of complaining, if you're a Christian, I just want to tell you, God hears them. You know, we make statements and we make those statements of complaint, and usually we make the statement of complaint to somebody who cannot fix the problem. It's usually what happens, all right? We make a statement of complaint, and the person that can do the, if it's a parent, the person at work, we always want to make it to somebody else to show our complaint. Can I tell you, God hears that? And God hears us when we complain. I want to tell you, if you're at home and you're complaining about home in any sense, it's not just a statement. It's something that God heard. And God hears when you complain. Well, I wish I had what so-and-so had. That's a complaint. That's I wish I had. By the way, this chapter here, the things that the children of Israel were complaining about is they thought, well, man, what we had in Egypt, well, we don't have that anymore. Wish we had those things before. Or things that they would like to have. Now, those are complaints, and God says, I hear you when you complain. Look at the third statement in verse number one. He says it displeases him. He says the Lord heard it. Statement number three, and his anger was kindled. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Hey, how would you like the next time you sit down at the dinner table and you say, I don't like green beans, firebolt comes out of the sky and burns you right in your seat. Hey, God, the Bible says that the fire burnt among them, and it was simply because they complained. That was it. They complained. Hey, you know, it's so easy for us to complain about other people, other church members. Sometimes it's easy to complain about the buildings, you know. I always get a kick out of somebody. I haven't had it happen in a while. Well, how come things aren't clean enough around here? Or the floors ought to be mopped around here? You know, I want to just tell them, hey, do you know where the janitor's closet is? It's right over here. Let me show you where it's at. You know, but people have a tendency to complain about things. And God says, he says, I just want you to know that it displeases me. I want you to know, number two, I hear it. And number three, I want you to know, I'm going to punish you for complaining. Complaining does not get by God, by the way. All right? Now, I want to give you three principles and I'm done tonight, okay? I know you said those were the first three. No, that was introduction, all right? Now, I want to give you three principles tonight. Here's where they are. I want you to look at verse number four. Here's the first one. In verse number four, it says this, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, and I want you to read that last phrase out loud with me, verse number four, together. Who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, church family, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt with basically unleavened bread and their clothing, and of course what they spoiled the Egyptians, but they didn't come out with much more than that. And so when they crossed the Red Sea, that's all, they didn't have anything. So they cross the Red Sea, and of course, they get across the Red Sea. It's very, very interesting that 3 days after they cross the Red Sea, they're already complaining. We don't have any water. Where's all the water? Now, their complaint here was that they didn't have any flesh to eat, flesh being meat. They didn't have any meat. Well, we don't eat chicken, all right? They wouldn't have been complaining about bacon because they weren't supposed to do that. But anyway, they were saying, hey, we don't have any flesh to eat, all right? They were complaining. You know, I find that Christians have a tendency to complain, first of all, about what they don't have. Are you with me tonight? All right, I won't be long. Stay with me for a moment here. So the children, by the way, where did we start with all this? We find out when the people complained, verse number one, it displeased the Lord. God heard their complaining. God punished them for complaining. I want to tell you why they complained. The first thing they complained about, what we don't have. We don't have any meat. We don't have any meat to eat. Where's the meat? All right, and now, church, some of you are thinking, where's the beef? But there's no meat, all right? Now, hey, can I tell you, Christians have a tendency to complain about what they don't have. What they don't have. Well, you know, I wish I had a better job, or I can't believe I wish I had a better vehicle, or I wish I had a better house, or I wish I had. We have a tendency to complain. Now, Apostle Paul, he explained very clearly, I want to say the opposite of complaining is contentment. God wants us to be content. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to what? Be content. Be content. 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be what? Content. God wants to be content. Let your conversation, Hebrews 13:5, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Now, you know, I tell you, my children, I tell you, I'm glad God gave me 8 children because my children are a good representation of Christianity. You know, how come we can't have such and such? Or how come so-and-so has that and we don't, how come I can't have it? Well, you're not so-and-so. Hey, you know, all of us, our human nature is, I'd like to have something that I don't have, all right? You know, the Bible talks about the eyes of man are never satisfied, and we often use that concerning immorality or wanting something else. But truthfully, the eyes of man are never satisfied. We always want something better, something new, something more, something that I don't have. And you know what that causes us to do? Causes us to complain. Well, I don't have such and such. Martyr to the cause. You know, you think you're going to die because you don't have it, all right? Hey, can I tell you? That causes complaining. Something else I see that the children of Israel complained about. Number one is what they didn't have. Look at verse number five. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. They complained about what they used to have. They not only complained about what they didn't have, they complained about what they used to have. All right? Now, church family, you have to remember that everything above zero is a blessing from the Lord. And everything that I have that God's given me, I don't deserve any of it. So if I have it, praise the Lord. If I don't have it, praise the Lord. All right? So Christians, as Christians, we can't fall apart of what we used to have. You say, well, they remember back, now they shouldn't remember back to Egypt, but they remember back in Egypt, the leeks, those watermelons, ungodliness. I just want you to know that, ungodly. But leeks, melons, the garlic, they remember back of all the things they used to eat in Egypt, and they thought, well, we used to have those things, we don't have them anymore. So they start to mourn about it, complain about it. Well, life's not going to fall apart if you don't have something that you used to have. You allow it to fall apart when you complain about it. And I just want to remind you that when you complain, God says, number one, it what? displeases him. Number two, he what? He hears it. Number three, he's going to punish you for it. So complaining is not something that we should take lightly in the Christian life. We shouldn't take lightly. All right? We should be careful that we don't complain. Psalmist said this in Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. All right? Because we all have a tendency to complain. Something else here, look at the next thing. It's in verse number 6 here. Not only did they complain about what they didn't have, they complained about what they used to have. Look at verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this what? Manna before our eyes. Now look what God described manna as, verse 7. And the manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as a Hershey's candy bar. All right? It was a taste of fresh oil. The Bible says the description of it was as honey and wafers. All right? The psalmist called it angel's food. Okay? So here you have the children of Israel complaining. And they're complaining about what they don't have. They're complaining about what they used to have. And now they're complaining about what they do have. They were eating manna, angel's food, and here they are complaining about what they do have. Now, Christian, I want to tell you, I know we all have problems, and I know we have things in life, but God, he says, I don't want you complaining because you need to think about all the things I have given you. And you need to be appreciative of those things. In everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that's the will of God, that we're thankful for this. So you come home today and you're upset with your job, and you're upset with your job because you got a lost foreman, or you're upset with your job because they asked you to do something and you have higher seniority than somebody else who didn't have it. And you come home, you begin to complain about that, and you think, well, it's just, you know, that's what God gave me my wife for, so I could vent to her. I don't think so. Your wife is not the venter. Your wife is the helpmate. All right? She helps me vent. No, that's not what she's there for, right? It's not this idea, well, I can just come home and complain. All right, God doesn't want you to come home and complain. God wants you to be the bigger Christian and in everything give thanks. You need to come home and say, God, boy, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to have an idiot for a foreman. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to have the foreman that I have. Thank God for that foreman, for what I have. God wants you to be appreciative of everything. He doesn't want you to be a complainer. Now, Church, I mean, you've been around lost people enough. Lost people don't have anything to be happy about. We're going to heaven. And we've got the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. And we've got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and all of the fruit of the Spirit and all the spiritual gifts that God's given us. And God's given us brothers and sisters in Christ. And, I mean, all of the things that we could just go on and on of the goodness of God. And if you're not careful, you'll look at the bad in life instead of the good in life. You know, as your pastor, sometimes it can, if I'm not careful, I'll dwell on one member that doesn't like me. All right? Now, don't raise your hand if you're the one member, okay? But I can dwell on one member that doesn't like me and think that, and by the way, you think that's a small thing. But when you preach to people, you want to be able to help people. You can't help people that don't like you. All right? If you haven't figured that out by now, it doesn't work. All right? And praise God. I mean, I don't know of anybody in the church right now. You know, it's an amazing time period that we're going through in our church right now, okay? And it's not a relaxing time. But when you look at Asa's life, it's very interesting. He's King Asa. Asa had 10 years, the Bible called, of rest. And at the end of that 10 years came a test in his life. And Asa didn't pass the test. And he got diseased in his feet, and kingship was over. And it's because he simply didn't trust God at the end of 10 years. And I don't, for some reason, I feel like that our church right now, God's been very good to us. And I know some of you, I'm not trying to belittle some of the trials you're going through. There's some of you going through major tests in your life right now. But God's been very good to our church right now. There's not one person in the church that I know of. I mean, if you are, don't tell me, okay? But there's not one person in the church right now that you're causing turmoil and division, and you're trying to get people out of the church. And obviously, all of us could do better. There might be a backslidden or more Christian in here tonight. I'm just saying that God's been very good to our church and blessed us in great ways. And I want to tell you something. For us to complain right now, there's no reason to complain. There's zero reason to complain. I mean, get to see people saved and see the ministries that are going on and seeing God's blessing with the fruit of the womb, children that are being born, and we just go on and on. The blessing of how God's met the finances of the church. I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, of course, I know the finances a little bit better than you, but I remember the days, you know, 3 months behind on bills and there was no money to pay anything. I remember being $50,000 just on the regular bills being behind, just to see how God's provided and just the college this year. I do not have one problem. I got some ugly ones, but I don't have any problem kids. I don't have one problem college student in the college this year, and that's a blessing. I mean, I've had my series where you have some rebels and you just, you know, you feel like two steps forward and and one step back. But I tell you, praise the Lord for that. And I know things that God's been very good. And tomorrow, the test could come along. And I hope we pass the test. I hope me as well as you. I hope you pass your test as far as the testing. We just preached on that. Testings that God brings into our life. But church family, can I tell you, the tendency for us to do is to complain. To complain about problems and complain about people and complain about circumstances and complain about things and all of the, and it's easy just to get down in the dumps and say, you know, it just seems like it's not fair and I don't, where's the finances for this and how come the health's not there for this and how come I've got problems with people here? Hey, God, can I just remind you tonight that complaining displeases God? Can I remind you tonight that complaining God hears? Can I remind you tonight that God punishes complaining? So tonight, really the thought is simply looking at the children of Israel. Don't be a complainer. Don't complain about what you do have. Don't complain about what you used to have. And don't complain about what you do have or don't have. But don't complain. Be thankful for everything. Thankful for when things go wrong. I've had a series of events of late that just things have gone wrong. And just little things. And to be honest with you, when those things happen, I always start to question, okay, God, am I doing something that I shouldn't be doing? You know? You know, I've had at least one or two flat tires of recently, and I've had a dent in a vehicle, and I've had just a couple different other things. It's just all at one time, and I'm thinking, okay, God, what did my wife do? What is wrong with her? And God, help her to get right. So this judgment stops, amen. I want God to help me, not to complain, and I have a tendency to do that. And it's part of my human nature. Complain about, you know, how a person maybe could have done better here or why a person shouldn't be doing that. And I say, I don't want that. Because I want to tell you something. Complaining not only hurts you, it hurts others. It doesn't hurt you, it hurts others. Years ago, I was going to preach at a larger church. And this was years ago. I was going to preach at a larger church. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to preach there. Because the church didn't like me. I don't know why they were even inviting me to preach. They didn't like me. All right, when I say they didn't like me, the pastor there didn't like me. I have no idea why he invited me to come. He didn't like me whatsoever. And it was a fairly large church. And I went and I preached. But you know what? I had a bad spirit. And the reason I had a bad spirit is because I knew the pastor didn't like me anyway. And so I got up to preach. And I want to tell you, I had zero liberty. I'll never forget. I had zero liberty. I couldn't even get the message out. I was like I was pushing it out of my mouth and it was going just far. I mean, it was awful. I remember after that service was over and I thought to myself, I will never do this again. If I know somebody doesn't like me and I have a bad spirit, I am not going there ever. I'm not doing that. And it taught me a great lesson that I cannot complain and have liberty to preach. I cannot complain and be able to help others. And I want to tell you, you are no different. If you're complaining, you are not going to help people. And so here's what happens. The people, the children of Israel, they complained. The mixed multitude, they complained. Moses, he complained. All in this one chapter. And you know what it did? God judged him for it. Fire came down. Later in the chapter, a plague is going to happen. You know why? Because God doesn't like it when we complain. Church family, I'm done, but think of this for a second here. When you raise your children, most of you are my age or older now, but when you raise your children up and you've given them a Christian education, you've given them a good home to live in, you've given them good food to eat, you bought all their clothes as far as the clothes that they have, and then they leave your house and criticize you? That's not too smart. Okay, now church family, think for a moment here. You're a child of God. He saved your soul from hell. He gave you eternal life. He gave you the comforter to dwell inside of you. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He's given you peace that passeth all understanding. And you have the audacity to complain about him? You look at the chapter, they weren't complaining about Moses, they're complaining against God. That's what God said. So here's what happens. Well, I don't like my circumstance. Who gave you the circumstance? Man's goings are of the... I don't like the way my children are turning out. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Who gave you those children? All I'm trying to say tonight is, if you just think for just a moment here, everything we complain about is somehow connected on God, because God's the one that allowed us to live the lives we live. And I know that there's other people who affect us, and God allows their lives to be. What I'm trying to say tonight is simply this. God doesn't like it when you complain. Because what you're saying is, lust of the flesh. I want more, or I'm not happy with what I have. I want more, or I'm not happy with what I have. And you ought to be. because we have a whole lot more than we deserve. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight and think for just a moment? Have you complained today, yesterday, or this last week? Have you complained about what God's doing in your life? You're just not happy? You say, Pastor, all I did was speak to my husband about it. Can I tell you who else heard what you said? The Lord did. Now, if the Lord sent fire down and killed these people for complaining, and if God compares complaining to adultery and murder and pride, I just want to tell you, complaining is a pretty bad thing. And we need to stop complaining about our brothers and sisters in our home as well as in our church. We need to stop complaining about things in our life. We just need to trust God and thank Him for everything. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.